Hello, this is David Abrams, and welcome to the Palms West Podcast, coming to you from beautiful Wellington, Florida.
If people can get gas and we can have power, I would like to move forward. And it really made me cry because they just rallied, the whole town rallied, and they cleaned out every parking space, any place that anybody could possibly go to get into the event. And we went forward. We got power like 3 days before.
Wow.
And it was great because, you know, people were shut in for weeks and they were just happy to have a cold beer and something hot to eat.
In this episode, Mia speaks with Garlic Fest Executive Director Nancy Stewart. They discuss the history of Garlic Fest, including all the trials and tribulations along the way. They also talk about what visitors can expect at this year's Garlic Fest, which is coming to Wellington February 12th and 13th. Nancy has some great ideas to make this year's Garlic Fest inclusive for everyone. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy the conversation. And we're back with Mia. Thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you for having me again. I'm really excited.
So in this episode, we're talking about the Garlic Fest coming to Wellington in February. This is a great topic. And I know you got to talk to the creator and the director of Garlic Fest. And so I'm interested to hear about what she had to say. You know, something that I find really interesting about this festival is how much it's had to move around. And I guess this is the second one that they're having here in Wellington. So tell me about their location issues.
Yeah, so the Garlic Fest has been a really successful festival, but it's definitely had a lot of challenges as well. They've had to go through several hurricanes, you know, being in Florida. It's just crazy with all the hurricanes that come through. And Hurricane Wilma in 2005 actually just wiped out everything. There was debris everywhere. There was no power. Just everything was kind of up in the air. And they decided to go through with the event. And that was before they even had power. But luckily, the power came on 3 days later. And there's just been little roadblocks that have come in the way of a location working out, between the weather, between COVID a couple of years ago. When it first started, they've just had to go through a lot of different changes. And usually that's something that will stop a festival from becoming successful, but they've just powered through it. And yeah, they've been a community loved festival for 23 years now.
Wow, 23 years. And so where is it being held this year?
Okay. Right now, this year it's going to be held at Village Park Athletics Complex. Here in Wellington.
Okay, great. So here in Wellington. And so what is the essence of the Garlic Fest? I mean, why are we going? What are we looking to do there?
Well, they love to talk about Garlic Fest as something that everyone will love because so many restaurants, so many different cuisines, but they all have one contributing factor, and that's using garlic in their menu. So it's just really a celebration of food and culture and entertainment and bringing together a bunch of different local restaurants to come in and make their best dishes, which of course have garlic, and trying to get the community to just enjoy good food, get out of the house, and have some fun for a weekend.
Eat good food, enjoy good entertainment. Doesn't get any better than that.
Especially if there's garlic.
Especially if there's garlic. And then this year, they're having some special events, some special, I don't know what you would call it, some new features, and mm-hmm. one of them is the Love Stinks. So tell me about that. I thought that was really interesting.
It's kind of funny because it's a play on garlic. You know, whenever you're going on a date, you should never have garlic before. So they know that Valentine's Day is coming up around the corner on that next Monday after the event. So they decided to make a little fun of it. And they're promoting it as, if you don't have a date for Valentine's Day yet, it's not too late for you, because they have the Love Stinks Singles Tent Meetup. So you can sign up to get a wristband to go into the Love Stinks tent. And they have great icebreakers and a private bartender for you to just go and get to know people. They say that it's the only area of the event that garlic isn't encouraged.
That's so great that they're doing that, because I know Valentine's Day is always such a sucky holiday for people that are single, and you got to celebrate that. And so now they're giving people a way to celebrate being single.
It's kind of funny because younger generations, like the people that are around my age, nobody really celebrates Valentine's Day anymore because everyone thinks it's kind of dumb and silly. So, but it's still fun to do little events like this. It's kind of like, oh, we don't want to do the traditional stuff, but a singles tent with a private bartender, that's something fun.
And so another story that I thought was really interesting, that where she talks about the, you know, the grit of what they had to do to make these events happen, is the hurricane that hit right before the event. How long ago was that?
That was in 2005.
So tell me a little bit about that story.
Yeah. So, I mean, everyone knew that the hurricane was coming and that it was a big hurricane. I was really young and I still remember when the hurricane was coming through, and everyone in Florida freaks out for a few weeks and everything. But the hurricane came through and completely like obliterated the Delray area. There was trees falling everywhere, debris everywhere, and they really didn't think that the event would be able to go on. But the city had contacted them and asked if they wanted to go ahead with the event, and they wanted to. So the city and volunteers of the nonprofit organizations kind of rallied together and picked up the debris, got new promotional flyers out, and they were able to make the event happen. And just one lucky bit of it was the power coming back a couple of days before the event. So they really have a lot of help from the nonprofit organizations that they're fundraising for. The people that volunteer and come on, they really wanted to see the event happen, so they made it work.
If there's a will, there's a way.
Mm-hmm. Not even a hurricane.
Not even a hurricane. It's amazing the kind of money they raised last year. Didn't you say around $600,000?
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Well, it was a great interview that you had with Nancy. And so we are going to play that interview now. And I appreciate you coming to the podcast and sharing it with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Twenty-four years ago, as I mentioned, I had an advertising agency in downtown Delray Beach, and we always got asked to be on committees and events to donate design for them. And so through my community involvement during the revitalization of Delray and volunteering at these events, I discovered my passion for the event industry. At the time when revitalization was the focus for Delray, plans and research began to create events to attract visitors to our downtown, and that could also act as fundraisers for other local organizations. And at one of the meetings, somebody had mentioned to me that they had just gone to the Gilroy California Garlic Fest, and what a great event that would be to do in Delray, because we were bringing in all these like really great restaurants and everybody uses garlic in their cuisine. Mm-hmm. So in 1997, myself and my business partner moved forward with the plans, and we traveled to Gilroy Garlic Festival. And they gave us, you know, the VIP treatment behind the scenes, explained to us how they had launched the event, which was the part where I said that we modeled it after the founders, Rudy Malone and Val Felicia, are now passed away. Their hope was to draw a few thousand visitors to their downtown during the harvest time of garlic. And the first year that they did it, they had a tent at the end of a little farmer's market, and they kept selling out and going back every hour to replenish it. So, you know, they launched the Garlic Fest around that. So we used to act like sister cities. They would come here and they would bring representatives here. We would send representatives there. We would send our mayor or commissioners, trying to get them to kind of buy into this idea that we had, because everybody thought we were kind of crazy. So for the first 5 years, we sent delegates back and forth. And once they saw firsthand what we were doing, and they love the idea, we created this community event, and we engaged local nonprofits. The difference between Gilroy and us is they were a community event that they had, they didn't do it. We did an Iron Chef competition. They did a local recipe contest. We did national act entertainment. They did local entertainment. So we did a little bit different. And together we did, we became like sister cities. So now we're 24 years into it. We've relocated 4 times. You know, we're staffed currently by 6 local nonprofits, 200 volunteers. We have a staff of 3 full-time employees in our office, and we have 25 contractors that come to work with us during the event. So we've received tons of international awards. We were featured on Food Network's Unwrap program and Carnival Eats. And to date, we have raised over $620,000 for those organizations that staff our event.
Wow, that's awesome. It's really cool. And I kind of didn't really know that it all started with like the restaurants, local restaurants. They all use garlic in their cuisine, and they all kind of come together and showcase what they're all about. So it kind of started as like more of a food event and kind of grew into like food and entertainment, or
it's always been a food and entertainment event. That's always what we have, you know, done with it. Now with COVID and things like that, we haven't done our cooking competitions for a while. People love that, but it's quite an undertaking, you know, and a lot of work to pull the chefs together, and then on site, you know, it's a big job. But we've always promoted ourselves as a gourmet food and entertainment. We don't do festival food. We have a food concessionaire that we dictate the menu. We brought a few of the signature items from Gilroy. We did a flaming shrimp scampi and a few, you know, the roasted garlic and the garlic ice cream. But
that's so cool.
Yeah, we try to keep the menu the same year after year. It's kind of like a restaurant. Like when you're hungry for a particular kind of pizza, you want to go to a particular pizza. So we'd like people to keep coming back to the Garlic Fest and say, I'm going for the garlic ginger bacon, or I'm going for, you know, the garlic shrimp scampi or something like that.
Mm-hmm. That's one reason why I usually wouldn't enjoy going to a festival, because the food is so expensive and really not that good. But now, like, having like a gourmet food festival, that's something that's totally up my alley.
Well, it's cheaper than a restaurant.
Yeah. Well, in the 24 years now that this festival has been going on, how have you seen it evolve over the years? Not in just terms of growth, but as a whole.
Well, you know, we have a really dedicated group of organizations that work with us. You know, a lot of them have come back year after year. Actually, most of our organizations are still from Delray Beach. We've been it's been very difficult for us to enroll any organizations in Wellington or in Lake Worth when we were there. They just really didn't get the concept. And I'm one of those kind of people, if it's not broken, don't fix it, you know, because we told them from the beginning, if you don't do the job, you don't get invited back. And we had to make an example once, and they all got, it's kind of like the parent, you know, it's like, mm-hmm. Oh, does she really mean it? Once they saw that we were serious about it, you know, when they come, if there's somebody doesn't show up for a shift, it's their responsibility to fill that position and man that area, because they each get assigned like specific areas. One's our main entrance, one's our bag checkers, one's our ticket takers, you know, one person cleans the portalets, one person cleans the tables. So they get a percentage of proceeds based on the man hours and the volunteers it takes to staff those areas.
Gotcha. So yeah, I also wanted to highlight any special events or things going on in this year's Garlic Fest.
Oh, let me pull some. Did I put my Love Stink stuff in there?
No, that was another question that I had. I found
okay,
that.
Okay, let me pull really something cool. up here. So it's a little bit of a long story. Let me pull up this. But, you know, with Garlic Fest, people, we've always had a lot of fun with like follow your nose, best stinking party in South Florida, because when we started it, people were like, Garlic Fest. So we've really used that to promote, you know, and use that to kind of just kind of get people's attention. But last year during COVID, my husband and I were watching something on demand, and this Match.com commercial came up, and I could send you the link. It's brilliant, but it was about professional wedding singers who were out of work due to COVID because nobody was getting married, and we're watching it. And I'm like, oh my God, that's the lead singer of the band that was in Garlic Fest this year. So we had the Red Knot Chili Peppers last year, but they got rained out. Mm-hmm. And so we're having them back this year. And I reached out to the tour manager and I said, is that David? And he goes, wow, that was a good catch. So we're kind of playing off of that since it's Valentine's Day weekend. It's always just something quirky. Really, it's just a way to kind of engage people and get their attention on social media. You know, you don't want to just say, oh, come to the Garlic Fest and here's the date. So we always come up with something wacky. So we're having a Love Stinks Singles Meetup Lounge. So we have a form online that if you're single, sign up to attend. We'll give you a wristband. It gives you access to the covered bar at seating. We made all these like little crazy icebreaker questions that they can play while we're there. We did a Facebook frame, like we made a magic Garlic Fest for pictures, and they have a private bartender. So it's over by the main stage. So they'll, you know, just kind of a little area, just something fun to do with that. But we have that link online. And then the other big thing is Garlic Fest. We always got a lot of kickback from families about how expensive it was to bring their children to ride the ride. So this is the first year that our kids zone will be totally free to families. We found that moving to Wellington, it's a big family-based community. And they really embraced us last year. So we're hoping that'll help draw a little bit more attendees. But and then Wednesday, our headliner, Everlast, pulled out on us.
Aww.
So we scrambled, and on Saturday night at 10 o'clock, we replaced him with Better Than Ezra. So these are the kind of fun things that happened to us along the way. So
the kids zone is kind of like a rides area.
Well, we have bounce houses. We have a human foosball game.
Okay.
You know, we've got the axe throwing thing of different kinds of games going in, cornhole, different things like that. So
super cool. Parents
kind of sit there and watch and have a drink while they're watching their children play, you know.
Yeah,
we're not allowed to have rides there, you know. Every city we go to, we get different restrictions, and Wellington's been pretty good to us. You know, when we moved Bacon and Bourbon there, this was a little bit of a stretch for them, because last year, at the last minute, the Palm Beach County said that we couldn't do anything in the parks. So we reached out to Wellington and said, you won a Garlic Fest 6 years ago, do you still want it? So with a lot of restrictions and a lot of safety protocols put in place and a lot of micromanaging during the event, they let us do it. But, you know, it was a risk. You know, we were the first really mass gathering, and we pulled it off without a hitch. So.
But yeah, do you think you could tell me a little bit about those challenges, like the Hurricane Wilma, just like touch on the stories that you had told me a little bit.
Hurricane Wilma, it was the big one. That literally, there was not a sign in town. There were no stoplights. You know, it really wiped out Delray. And this was the year that the Food Network Unwrapped program was coming to film our Garlic Chef competition.
Oh my goodness.
Which they ended up doing, and somehow you couldn't tell that there were no leaves on the trees or anything, you know. And it ran in rotation for many years, but that was back in the day when we had, you know, city staff that had been here for 20, 30 years. They embraced and partnered and, you know, did whatever they could to make these events successful. And the city manager came knocking, or assistant city manager came knocking on my door, and he goes, "What are you going to do about Garlic Fest?" And I said, "Well, if people can get gas and we can have power, I would like to move forward." And it really made me cry, because they just rallied, the whole town rallied, and they cleaned out every parking space, any place that anybody could possibly go to get into the event. And we went forward. We got power like 3 days before.
Wow.
And it was great, because, you know, people were shut in for weeks and they were just happy to have a cold beer and something hot to eat, you know. So, you know, something
a sliver of like normalcy.
Yeah. Something good comes out of everything challenging. It doesn't seem like it at the moment, but, you know, it was very humbling. You know, people were so happy that we were able to do that. But some of the fun things are Mr. Garlic. If you come, you have to meet him. He wasn't there last year because he has a lung, his pleurisy or something. And so he was staying away. He's coming back this year. We're giving him a golf cart, trying to keep him away from people. But he officiated a wedding, and the bouquet was out of garlic and in the society garlic. And we did it on the main stage, which was pretty fun. Yeah.
And don't forget to check out our website, palmswestjournal.com, to get our latest stories. And while you're there, you can also sign up to have our newsletter delivered right to your inbox. Please make sure you subscribe to this podcast today and join us as we share our stories in this Palms West community.